Good morning. It's 8:16 on Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. I'm Ann Bryce. We're here for the morning interview. We have Jim Powell from Utah State University. He's here for a National History Seminar Series at UAS. This is the first one of the year. Welcome, Jim.
Hi.
And we have Ashley Bulwark. She's the Education Manager at the Sitka Sound Science Center. Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, tonight, you're giving a talk at UAS, and it's called The Mathematics of the Life Impaired, How Disease Theory Predicts a Zombie Apocalypse. I love the title.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. And so, could you kind of just describe what this is, what your talk's going to be about?
Well, so I got started with using zombie disease as an example in my math classes 10 years ago during a previous Ebola outbreak, I've been doing it with graduate students and using it as a way for students to learn how to model real-world data. And one of my students actually plays the humans versus zombies game on our campus and said, wow, I can get you that real data. And so she and I have been working on a project for the last 2 years to build and test models and illustrate ways of using mathematics and predict what a zombie apocalypse would look like in our home valley, Cache Valley in Utah.
Right, so it's taking mathematics, which maybe some people are, you know, it's maybe a little bit daunting, and really applying it to real world situations in a fun way.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's one of the big things that we do it in my program is try to make mathematics relevant, particularly to biological sciences, natural history, and disease propagation, epidemiology.
Right, and do you have anything?
Yeah, so that's what Jim's going to be talking about tonight at the talk, is kind of walking through some of these mathematical models and also looking at some of the really cool pop culture examples of how these zombie apocalypses might occur. So he's got a couple of really fun examples that he'll walk everybody through and get to explore.
Right, that sounds really interesting. And so where did this all begin? How did you start?
Well, one day I was at, all zombie apocalypses start at Walmart. I was really happy to see that you guys don't have a Walmart here in Sitka. but in the real world, it started with the teaching, and I've just, there's a real niche or need for mathematicians that work with biological scientists and who train students to work with data. And so it all started with me trying to figure out ways to get my students to get involved with real data and really building useful models that would predict something. And of course, zombie stuff just takes off on its own once you get started with it.
Yeah, it really does. It's just so catchy. You're like, oh, what does it look like? So what does a zombie apocalypse look like according to some of your students?
Well, some of the vanilla apocalypse in Cache Valley from Walmart looks like, in about 150 hours, the whole thing has passed. There's about 75% mortality among the humans. And the remaining, 30% of the faster humans are kind of wandering, are moving quickly, and the zombies are slowly starving to death because they can't find enough humans to eat.
Right. And so this, they can, even though this is for zombies, it is applicable to outbreaks that are actually happening right now. Is that right?
Yeah. So the zombie thing catches, everybody knows how zombies work. At least all my students do. Yeah, I learned in the, my mom took me to Night of the Living Dead when I was 5. So I've known for, 45 years now how zombies work. And, there's no difference in the mathematics between how a zombie outbreak would propagate and what happens with Ebola or what happens during a measles outbreak. So the flavor of the data is the same, and a lot of the behavior of the data is the same. It's just, when the students feel like they understand all the mechanisms like they do because they've watched all these movies, then they get excited about building mathematics. Whereas when they're thinking about the real epidemiology or the way a doctor would think about it, they're like, oh, well, maybe the virus does this, or what if they have to cure it this way? So they get all involved in extraneous details as opposed to just doing the stuff that the math can do.
Right, yeah. I was just saying, I remember the quadratic equation, but I don't actually know what to do with it. So this is really interesting.
Yeah, all my students know what to do with the quadratic equation now.
Yeah, that's so great.
And one of my favorite things that Jim's been sharing, we've been in the classroom a few times here since he's been here. We went twice yesterday to Pacific High School and to Blatchley. But what he shares with the kids is he shows some different examples of popular zombie movies and things like that, and how that changes, some of these different factors change the equations that they're using and the models that they're looking at. So I think one of my favorite ones is like cooperative zombies, when they're working together, and that drastically changes the model and how fast the human population goes down. So there's all these different factors that he can incorporate into the model that really changes what it looks like.
Wow, that's really interesting. So what were, and you've been going around to different schools, what have the different reactions been? Because I know you've been going to some elementary schools, so the littler kids, and then versus high school students.
I'm really stunned at how well the, I mean, it's the same thing with my graduate students. I mean, it's amazing how well the kids will pay attention if it's about zombies, as opposed to, let's talk about the quadratic equation.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. So they're engaged.
And they often have other things, you know, several times students have said, well, but it doesn't seem, I mean, this is great. This is the kind of criticism I get from, like, real researchers. They're like, well, but your model doesn't have the effects of panic, or, you know, maybe the humans are starving to death. Do you have a place in your model for that? So they're really... They're more involved than just the game. I mean, they're really thinking like scientists about what mechanisms might need to be in there, and, you know, looking at the things that I put in there and saying, well, you don't really have that in there. Is that important or is it not? It's really, fantastic. I want to see some of these kids in my math classes at USU someday.
Yeah, they have a lot of great ideas and new ideas. Each round, we can change it up and change kind of the rules of how the zombie outbreak spreads. And every time they have something new and crazy they want to try out. Like, let's do this. The zombies can eat more than one person at a time, or whatever it happens to be.
Wow, that's really interesting. And so, oh, what I was going to talk about, the deer. So, deer, yeah. Can you explain what the zombie,
So I finish up the talk tonight, that I'll give tonight, with some real-world research that my students and I do on what we call a zombie disease of deer, but it's chronic wasting disease. So it's a prion disease of deer. Its technical name is transmissive spongiform encephalopathy, which just means that it's a disease that you can get from something else that turns your brain into a sponge. And so it's a really, it's really sad with these deer, and they really act like deer zombies. Mm-hmm. I got a picture of one eating my cat, and not really, but it looks like it's eating my cat. But they do bizarre behavior when their brains are all turned into mush, and it's not curable, and it's not stoppable, and deer can just get it from the environment. So it's been introduced into Utah, and one of our research projects is studying ways to slow down the spread and evaluate whether it'll jump across the western desert or not.
Wow, that's interesting. And so Ashley, going around schools, Jim's going around schools today. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So today we're going to go down to Keat for the Stream Team kids, and Jim's going to do his zombie game and introduce kind of how the game works, and then we do show some of the mathematical models that he uses. And so I always like to say that it's kind of sneaky teaching, sneaky science and sneaky math, because they get so excited about the zombies and this game that they're playing, and then of course you want to look at the data and see what's happening and throw it on a graph, and so they don't really realize that they're getting all these math pieces out of it. But yesterday we went to Pacific High School and to Blatchley and did the same things with those kids, and it's just kind of that sneaky connection where they're getting excited about these concepts that otherwise, you know, they might kind of shrug off their shoulder as like, oh, that's boring and not interesting, but this is a way to really engage them and get them going on it. So it's been really exciting to do that.
Oh, that's great. So the talk tonight, called Mathematics of the Life Impaired, How Disease Theory Predicts Zombie Apocalypse, is at University of Alaska Sitka campus tonight. And when's the time that's taking place?
That's going to be at 7:30 tonight, upstairs in room 229. That's the really big auditorium room upstairs.
Okay, great. So 7:30 to 9 p.m., University of Alaska, room 229. Is there a number people can call if they have any questions?
Sure. If they have any questions, they can get a hold of us down at the Science Center. The number is 747-8878. And anyone there can give you further detail about how to get in touch with Jim if you want to contact him, or more about the talk tonight.
Great. So Ashley Bulwark and Jim Powell, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.